This week in Philadelphia, the trial of reputed mob boss Joseph Merlino began. Now, Mr. Merlino and several co-defendants face federal racketeering charges that include 3 counts of murder, 2 attempted murders, extortion, drug trafficking, and theft. The case against Mr. Merlino and his associates is the latest in a long line of federal cases aimed at breaking organized crime in Philadelphia and southern New Jersey. Among the first to testify was the most dramatic possible witness, former mob boss Ralph Natale. Mr. Natale is the highest-ranking mob figure ever to turn state's evidence. George Anastasia is covering the trial for the Philadelphia Inquirer, and he joins us from Philadelphia. George, thanks for being with us.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Why would Ralph Natale turn on the folks who made him?
Natale addressed that issue on Friday when he debuted as a witness in the case. And basically, he said after spending 40 years of his life in La Cosa Nostra and 16 of them in prison, he decided he couldn't give any more to La Cosa Nostra, and he was going to do what he could for his family rather than the family. And that's the reason he decided to cooperate. Of course, the defense is going to challenge those motives and basically say that Natale, at 66 or 69 years old, there's a dispute about his age, was looking at a potential life sentence after he was indicted on drug trafficking charges and tried to make the best deal he could to get out from underneath that, and then gave up his friends as a result, and that his testimony is not credible and should be challenged.
Mm-hmm. What do we consider La Cosa Nostra in these days, the outfit, the organization?
Well, I mean, La Cosa Nostra is traditionally, Cosa Nostra is the American mafia, and it's, I think, unique to several cities, mostly on the eastern seaboard. Chicago's a little bit different. Mm-hmm. Chicago's been multicultural in their organization for years and years, but in New York and Philadelphia and Boston, it's primarily an Italian-American ethnic gang, and that's what we consider La Cosa Nostra.
George, explain Joseph Merlino's popularity to us.
Mm-hmm. Joey Merlino had become such a celebrity gangster, and it was so much in the face of the feds that I think he became more of a priority than the actual boss.
I don't want to use a term like beloved, but he's a celebrity, isn't he?
Right. He's a young guy. He's 39 years old. He's a handsome guy. He dresses well. And he made a point of giving things to the poor, and much in the way, I guess, Al Capone used to do in Chicago. He had every Thanksgiving, he would have a dinner for the homeless, where he'd bus in 2 or 3 busloads of homeless children and mothers, and he'd have gifts. Every child who went to this, and there were about 27 or 28 homeless children, every one of them got a brand new bicycle, got a lot of media attention. And that kind of publicity was, I know it got under the skin of a lot of law enforcement people, and they would say, sure, it's easy to be generous when it's not your money. You know, you're giving away stuff with ill-gotten gains, that kind of thing. But it played very well in the media, and it made him a celebrity.
Does Mr. Merlino, near as you can tell, insist that he's a choir boy, a good citizen?
Not at all. Yeah. And one of the interesting things about the opening on Thursday when this case opened, Merlino's lawyer and several of the other lawyers got up and very aggressively said, look, we know what we've done and we know what we haven't done, and we'll concede that we are gamblers, we're bookmakers, and we might have been involved in some stolen property, but we haven't committed any of these acts of violence, and there's nothing to link us to those charges except the words of paid government informants who admitted they're murderers and are trying to get out from underneath serious problems. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting, it's aggressive, and I think it's intelligent because it says to the jury, look, we're not going to try to give you a lot of bull here. We are what we are, but take a look at who the government's using and you know, make your choice.
Mm-hmm. Has Ralph Natale been given any specific promises, near as you can tell, by federal prosecutors, light sentence, I don't know, you know, witness relocation?
No, that's a question that was also asked Friday when he took the witness stand. He's got a plea agreement. He's pled guilty to a broad racketeering charge in which he admits his own involvement in 8 murders, 4 attempted murders, and drug trafficking, and he faces a potential life sentence. He says that the promise is when it's time for sentencing, the prosecutors will stand up and tell his sentencing judge how effective a witness he was and what kind of impact his testimony had on bringing down the mob. And that's the standard thing that they all say. The defense is claiming that they've got tapes from prison in which Natale, talking to his wife, has boasted that he's going to get out in 1 to 3 years. That remains to be seen, but that's what they want the jury to believe, that this guy is going to get away with murder.
George, what would the conviction of Joseph Merlino mean to the Philadelphia Cosa Nostra?
You know, every time we have one of these, we say this is the final nail in the coffin, but I think this may very well be that. The Philadelphia family is probably the most dysfunctional mob family in America. They're kind of the Simpsons of the underworld. It's been careening out of control for the past 10 or 15 years, and this is kind of, I guess, another example of that. Yeah. You know, you've got the boss of the family who's decided to give it all up.
Yeah.
There's only a handful of guys still out there, and Joey Merlino had such a high profile. If they can bring him down, I think the Philadelphia mob becomes nothing more than a street gang.
George, thank you very much.
Thank you, Scott. It's a pleasure.
George Anastasia is a reporter for the Philadelphia Inquirer and also author of the book, Summer Wind.